Hey, this is Joe R. Lucas, and you're listening to The Crossover at the Final Four, where I'm bringing you exclusive interviews with key players, plus big name and big game analysis. Look out for an episode on Monday with reaction after Turkish Airlines at EuroLeague Championship game between Anadolu Efes Istanbul and CSKA Moscow. And that's what we're going to preview right now. Welcome to The Crossover, and this is the Final Four edition. I'm Joe R. Lucas, setting the scene here for you in Victoria Gasteiz at the Team Hotel, and I got my boys with me today. As customary, he's committed to all three podcasts this weekend. My boy Nikola Vucic from Maccabi Tel Aviv, the player, the director of player personnel, general manager. What do we call you?
Everything.
You just do everything. Well, you did everything in the EuroLeague.
I'm using everything. Depends on the situation.
You did everything in the EuroLeague. Two-time EuroLeague champ, five-time All EuroLeague selection. And then I got my boy with me, who I've known since one of my first days playing professional basketball way back in Sacramento. I met my man Johnny Rogers, also a two-time EuroLeague champion with Panathinaikos, under my boy Zeljko Obradovic, and former NBA player, also played for Real Madrid, Olympiacos, and a former teammate of Pablo Laso's also, right?
That's right.
When did you play with Pablo?
You'd never guess. It was in Lleida.
In Lleida.
Yeah, we had a squad. He came in and played the last couple months. But
were you just stealing money at that point or what?
Hey, I was 40 years old, but I could still play.
Anybody who's never seen Johnny play, get on Google and check out that jump shot. It's the most awkward-looking jump shot I've ever seen in my entire life, but it was money from anywhere. I know. I got to start. I can't save it for the end. We had Mikaelis the other day who predicted, I think he predicted Efes and Real Madrid, and I predicted Efes, and I think I predicted Efes and Real Madrid also.
Yes.
And then you went with Efes and CSKA. So you're right. So maybe this should be the crossover with Nikola Vucic, but we're going to keep it my name. But
there's no way Nikola could have predicted that outcome of the game would be like that. Okay, you said CSKA would win, but come on.
No, Efes was easier to predict because we know all that Fener really struggled last couple of weeks, and the Vesely and Kalinic didn't practice, just had a few practices before. Datome is out. It's completely changed the system of one team, to play, and even they had amazing season.
But you always have that wounded animal theory too, you're like, be careful, Of course, I think it would have worked against a team like a Real Madrid or a CSKA because you would have relaxed a little bit more. Efes had no moment to relax.
Yes,
they were just like, they were going at it.
There is a wounded enemy, but there is also an enemy that when he's wounded, it's almost dead. So it's different, different stage of wound,
wounded,
you could see on the players of Fener that they're really...
We're going to get into that here in a minute. My question to start this whole thing off about that semifinal is, did Efes win it, Johnny, or did Fener blow it? Defender loser.
No, I think from the first minute, even though the score was close throughout the game, throughout the first half was close. Fenerbahce stayed close, even at times in the third quarter. But really, watching the game, if you didn't see the scoreboard, you would have thought that Efes was, up more than they would have been up by double figures. It seems like almost 20, because there was a different speed. They were playing it with more pace. You just kept waiting for a reaction from Fenerbahce, but. Like Nikola said, they're wounded. They look tired. They weren't at anywhere near 100%. And you got to give credit to Efes. They kept the pressure on, and they just poured it on at the end.
It looked, the body language was so bad in the third quarter. Because what I said when I was commenting in the game was a little bit of what you said, Johnny, is Efes is dominating in the third quarter. They're dominating the third quarter, but they're only up by six or seven. They were up by five at halftime, and they only went up by six or seven. I said, either they're going to pull away here, or this is bad news.
But Efes set up very high-paced, and the Fener was, until they had some energy, they were still, stay close to the game. But like he said, it's like that 6 points look like the 15 for Efes.
Yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. Like you just cannot come back. And then you see that also... Fener took some shots that they are not Fener shots. You know, they were right. like desperate shots and not out of the system. So you could see also the reaction of coach, and he was like, "What are guys we are doing? What is this? It's not us."
There was one possession I thought was huge. I don't know if you remember. There's one where Kostas Lukas was back in the game. He came down and he literally dribbled for 24 seconds.
Yes.
And then took a bad shot at the end. It was like nobody was moving offensively. Yeah. And from that point, it just looked like they dropped the guard and they said, "Look, guys, we've done everything we could to this point. It's over." Coach Edelman said after the game that that's just the kind of basketball we're playing all season. And I kind of want to disagree with him because I don't think they played this good a defense all season. Because I think defensively, this team is better than they've been all year.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You're right. Their play has been characteristic of how good they've been on offense. You wouldn't really talk about their defense so much, but you're absolutely correct. Yesterday, their defense was tough, and that was the key. And Fenerbahce could not get good shots yesterday. They were not getting anything on offense, and that's because Efes put the pressure on.
We heard Zeljko Obradovic's interview after the game, and he did everything he could not to make excuses. And we know Zeljko. He's been here 18 times, and he's won 9. He's obviously lost 9, but he did everything he can to not make excuses. But I know Zeljko well enough. If you've played with him, mm-hmm. and you know him more than well enough, he's not a guy that likes going into any type of game without you practicing.
Yes.
And he just hasn't had anybody.
Look, he doesn't need to have excuses. All people that follow basketball and that are involved in basketball, we from our side understand how hard it is to come to Final Four without practices, without your main players, and then you are coming against a team that it's in zone. You know, they are playing really it's in the tempo and everything. When you're watching them, they are shining with confidence. Larkin is in. Like in last few weeks, it's looking, James Harden.
You know what? They came out sharp. Efes, they're hitting those shots. Moorman, Larkin, it was all net. Those shots, right. They were determined. Misic was so smooth pulling up.
Yes.
I mean, it was impressive because those guys were so focused. And we're talking about guys that didn't have they don't have a lot of experience playing in Final Fours. And in this competition, the EuroLeague Final Four, it's so important, the experience. And they played it. They were very sharp, and that's what I was very impressed from the first moment.
We'll hear my exclusive interview with Adrian Mormon from Anadolu's Efes a little later, but first, here's what Coach Zeljko Obradovic had to say about Fenerbahce's semifinal defeat.
First of all, I want to congratulate to Efes for the excellent game that they played tonight. I try to understand really what's happened with my team today. I believe it's not easy to understand, and I'm really very sorry for my players because all the season we play excellent basketball. Probably today it was the worst game in EuroLeague. Our defense was in the level that really is necessary to play against one team like Efes, and especially in semi-final game in Final Four. The main problem it was our 1-to-1 defense. They score very easy. They take very comfortable shots. And if you watch statistic and they score 92 points with just 13 assists, this means that almost everything coming from this situation, that this isolation game and playing 1-to-1. You know, now it's not excuse, but with 3 practices, if I need to use Jan Veseli more than 30 minutes, and also Nikola Kalinic play a lot of minutes, it was not really easy for us to try to prepare this tournament and to be on the level that is necessary to be in this tournament.
All right, now let's move on to what was obviously the game of the night. It was, I don't even know what to say about that game.
You know, Real Madrid, you're talking about the defense of Efes. CSKA was playing defense, and mm-hmm. Real Madrid did not get any good shots. They could not get any good shots from the beginning of the fourth quarter. They could not get anything. The ball was not going inside. They were taking off-balance threes. They just did not get any good shots at the end. They weren't finding any rhythm. So CSKA was out of the game, 13 points, bad, but they were playing defense, and that's how they kept in. I think one guy, Hunter, was just incredible.
Yes, incredible. I think also Coach Itudis did an amazing move in the fourth quarter. He took the best player on the court, Sergio Rodriguez, out. Even he had the four fouls.
Yes, yeah.
But he took him out. He put the higher lineup, and then they start to switch. Mm-hmm. And then it will start to bad shots. And then he kept Sergio to the end on the bench because he was kept the momentum of these five. Like he says, Hunter was really impressive.
This is the reason why we have you on these shows, Nicola. This is the reason why you're here, because that's exactly what Itudis said after the press conference, or at the press conference. I'm sure you heard it.
No, I didn't.
I don't think you could have done that, picked that up by yourself.
Yeah, I follow your press conference, that's for sure. From next year, I will follow.
No, but between the two of them, we're going to hear Pablo Laso's clip also. But he said they had to go to plan C. Plan A didn't work for them defensively. They weren't defending well one-on-one. They weren't defending the perimeter well. And plan C was he had to switch. And what he did in plan C was when they switched, it took Madrid out of their games because they were too busy looking for mismatches.
Yes.
And they slowed their offense down. And that's pretty masterful stuff right there from Dimitris Itudis. I don't know if that's one of those things you think about at the moment or you just say, hey, let's switch and then it'll work. But the way he broke it down and what you just said and what Pablo said in his interview, it's 100% true. That was that switch that made the difference in the game.
Yeah, that's what good coaches do. You make adjustments during the game and give him credit for making that adjustment. I saw Dimitris Itudis very calm throughout the game. He did an excellent job. And that's, again, the difference is you got to be able to read the action. You got to be able to read the action on the floor. Everything worked out. He went to his plan C, and that was the best option for him.
And what do you do as a coach to the other team? I mean, because you have to recognize that also. Just, you have to play on the move. I mean, I do think that Pablo and Real Madrid got into that. Like, let's look for a mismatch. And you saw a lot of the ball being outside, looking into Tompkins, looking in. And that takes valuable. When you 5, 6, 7 seconds looking in to get the low post, you're taking a lot of that offensive continuity out of your game.
I was surprised that Coach Lasso didn't react on this switch defense differently. You know, he tried to post up Randolph, and it didn't work out so easy. You know, he went more for fadeaways and also, you know, when you switch between Claiborne and Higgins, and then you try to post up one of these two, it's not such a big, huge advantage. You know, it's still big guys, you know. And I think, you know, Tavares also was, could make some damage if he was more inside in the paint. Because of his size, with him you cannot switch so easy if he's going under the basket. But they tried to post up four and tried to pay some ISO. You know, it didn't work. The shot was short. You know, there were really like some few of shots like taking bed and they were short and give the confidence to. And you have to also give credit to Nando De Colo last second quarter, 19 incredible. Points out of nowhere. You know, it's. He came with his confidence and scored 3-point shots. Also, Claiborne in the end took some big shots to score. So, listen, this is the big players.
Big players show up in big games. That's the way it is. And Nando proved that in games 3 and 4 also in the playoffs. But you know, when I talked to Corey, I said it wasn't a typical comeback. It wasn't like where you go on a 12-0 run. No, they did it like point by point. It was like a masterful like defensive to offense, defense to offense. Mm. I don't think Real Madrid even realized that they were giving the game up when it was going on.
Yeah, they had a comfortable lead. I mean, in that game with the slow pace, there's a slow pace. It was a comfortable lead. I don't know if it got to 13 points. And with the way the pace of that game, 13 points is a lot for the style of play. So, like you said, it was just one possession at a time, and it's like, oh, they're getting closer. Now, all of a sudden, it's 6 points.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, Claiborne comes up, hits a huge three. Nobody expected that.
There's no offense for this.
Yeah.
This
is, so, you got some big players making huge plays.
I think the huge play was Hunter's offensive rebound in the putback.
Yes.
That was just humongous because that was a big stop for Real Madrid. They held him down to the almost 24 seconds on defense, and Hunter came up over the top. And my last thing on the game is, and I know, it's injury-based and it's everything else, but it also looked a little bit mental. Sergio Llull, what's going on? It was hard to see yesterday a little bit, you know? I mean, any player could have a bad game. Pablo talked about it after the game also. And, you know, said that Sergio's, you know, probably more devastated than anybody, you know, because of his competitive nature. And I know he'll be back, but he just hasn't looked good all season long. And then yesterday I thought when he missed the three, airballed the three, and then ran to foul the player to get out of the game.
And then he came back and scored.
Yeah, but then he came back and scored a huge three.
Three, like, yes.
So let's first go back with the fact that he's not well physically or mentally, maybe, because you saw him with the towel on his on his head. And then let's go back with the fact that Pablo has such an utmost amount of confidence in him, because he did the same thing last year against Panathinaikos when he played in that game three. He played terribly against Panathinaikos, but he put him in at the end and he hit three threes in the end.
Listen, coaches, there is no coach in the world that will keep Lul on the bench. Kind of condition? It's a Lul. Like you said, like this, he's coming out of nowhere without experience. He's such a big heart, such a big winner, and you cannot try to, you know, keep the game. What probably he should do is to keep him less when they start to make the comeback and go back with the lineup that was keeping this, bringing these 13 points up, and keep him maybe for the end if you need him. Because at the end of the day, you have to win the game. This is only what is matter in Final Four. Doesn't matter who played and how many minutes. You just want to win that game. You know, sometimes in Final Fours, you win games winning somebody that you don't expecting out of your players. But when you're feeling him, you give him momentum and do it. And same thing opposite. If he's play like a Lul and he's not in momentum.
You expect, it's funny, he took a shot from three quarters court to beat the buzzer. I forgot what quarter it was. Third quarter, you expect, I'm watching it, it's like watching Steph Curry. You expect those shots to go in. Right. You expect when Ewell takes a shot that looks impossible, you expect it to go in. Yeah. If I'm a coach, I want him on the floor also because you're just going to be second-guessing yourself. How could I not have him in the game? Right. He's made so many of those shots.
Yeah, and he made one. Like Nicholas said, he made one, and he had a chance to make another one.
They didn't foul him.
Why not?
Etudis was saying, he was very clear. I was watching him. He's gesturing, foul, we want fouls, we want fouls. And I'm thinking, okay, they waited. At least they didn't foul until the ball got into the backcourt. And then all of a sudden, he was open for that shot. It was
What happened was, I saw him coming up the front court, and he faked like he was going to go up for the shot. Mm-hmm. He faked like he was going to pick the ball up. And I think it was Higgins.
It was Higgins.
It was Higgins. It was like, you know, as soon as he pulled back, then he didn't know what to do anymore. And Sergio got it off. It was a great play, and he almost got the three to tie the game.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. It was just, I think the saddest part was to see him go foul somebody and then run to the bench. And, you know, because he's so competitive. Mm-hmm. He's so competitive. And to play, I mean, we've all played bad in a big game. Everybody's been there. And and the worst emotion you could have is that frustration where you just want all back. 1 for 10, I mean, you can never get rid of that stat, you know, for the rest of your life. But anyways, Clyburn, what do we think? Is he going to play tomorrow?
Let's see, you know, when it's, you know, when you, during the season, when you talk to the players and when they're a little bit, they're injured, and most of the players come and say, listen, if it's Final Four, I get injection and I play. So tomorrow is Final Four, you know, whatever has happened Monday, you can take you know, 1 month off, because this is the game of some careers and can change a lot. So I'm sure that they will do everything, that him also will do everything to be. It is very important for them, especially in this game. With this size, he can match up lots of guys that can switch again, and he's really crucial for them.
Yeah. You'll hear my interview with Corey Higgins of Cheska in a little while, but here's Pablo Laso speaking of Real Madrid's semifinal defeat.
Probably we were forced to have a lot of strange rotations, like Gustavo had to lead the team, the court, twice because he was bleeding. I didn't even see the blood, foul troubles, a lot of situations that really didn't help us. It's true that I had the feeling that when Gustavo and Eddie were dominating the boards, dominating defensively, doing good job defensively on helping the other guys and recovering. I'm talking about defense, also offensively looking on, setting good screens, roll to the basket and create space for another. It looked like we had a better situations. I think that probably we didn't move the ball well on the last quarter and try to look for those mismatches and situations. We're very disappointed now, normal, when you lose a game like this. But I have nothing to say bad about my team because they fight until the end trying to get the victory.
All right, fellas. We know he's playing the third place games. We're not going to talk about that one. It's pretty obvious. But I got to announce that game goes on at the Fernando Buesa Arena at 5:30. p.m. local time here in Spain. And
who's playing?
The other two teams. The other two teams. But now to the big one, the championship game with the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague title on the line. It's Anadolu Efes Istanbul and CSKA Moscow in the winner takes all final Sunday at 8:30 p.m. local time in Victoria Gasteiz. Let's play you the interview I did earlier with Adrian Mormon of Anadolu Efes, who is still buzzing from the semifinal win.
Ooh, that's a great feeling. It's amazing to beat Fenerbahce, to be a final for us. Will be my first one. And for all this team, you know, because we are like almost rookie for this Final Four, we are very happy and proud while we did it. It's not easy, you know, because it's a long season and we come here very hungry. And after the game, we are very happy, you know, Shane make a huge, yeah, last night. And he played amazing for 2 months, you know, helped the team. Like I say, message too, you know, and this is our team. And after the game, we got a very great feeling, coach happy, staff, and fans too, you know. It's not a lot of fun, but they support us, and the feeling is great today.
But before I get into the game itself last night, I'd like to try to get the crossover listeners into a little bit of what goes on beforehand. You guys arrived on Wednesday. I spoke with Tibor Plays here on the show, and then you get Thursdays, the night before the game, the day before the game. You know, everything's status quo. You do the same thing every time. But when I played, I always had a tough time sleeping. How was your Thursday night? Because this, until Sunday night, this is the biggest game of your career by far. What was your Thursday night like personally?
Personally, it's like maybe some pressure because first Final Four, you play again, a huge team. You don't have pressure because we are not the nobody. Guys, like they say, we are underdog, you know. And the pressure is maybe of the huge team, but like you say, it's like a little bit pressure, but you put this outside, you know. I sleep, personally, I always sleep good before games, you know.
Good sleep.
Yeah, very good sleep, very focused. And I think all the team, they are focused because when you come in the morning practice, we stay like together, We do some details on the end of practice, and when you come back to hotel, we are very, very ready, you know, to play this game. And we show yesterday we are a big team, young team maybe, but when you play like this, it's very tough to beat us.
So game day was practice, lunch, is it
a little
siesta?
Bit sleep, yeah.
You're in Spain, so we call it siesta, a little siesta.
Yes.
And you slept there also?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, guys.
No, you're not thinking about like what coach said about after, you know, pop out in the pick and roll, trap Bobby Dixon.
No, because we do all practice all the week. You know, we know what we need to do on the court. You know, is small details. You know, on the end of the practice morning and a small video about the player, individual player. You know, but we are very focused and ready to play this game because we play hard all this week and in practice. And the coach know what need to do for win this game, and we did it yesterday.
I go back to actually before you guys played against Barcelona, and then the win against Barcelona, and I saw the matchup coming. You know, I saw that you guys were playing Fenerbahce. I knew that you guys were 3-3 against them. Even a game that you lost was an overtime game that you guys played in the Turkish league. I felt like from that moment, you guys were positive. You won the last two games of the season, which I thought were the most amazing games for the team. But I thought there has to be some sort of positive mentality going into that. You know, you're playing against someone. You're going into an unknown territory because, like you said, you have a lot of rookies. But you know your enemy.
Yeah, we know. And I want to say this team is, I think it's our identity because we are very hungry to play. No matter is our opponent, we are here to play. And you know, it's not easy to beat Fenerbahce because we play, like you say, like 6 times already, got 3-3. And maybe we play maybe in a Turkish final, in the playoff, we don't know.
You'll see them again, probably.
Yeah. And you know, it's not easy to play always the same team 6 times. But you know, we know how to beat him. We play 40 minutes like intense, and we compete against them. Because if you don't compete against them, it will be a very tough game yesterday.
I know this is a dumb question, and you know, I have to do dumb questions sometimes too. But did you expect that kind of result?
I want to say win by 20, not.
Yeah.
But maybe win the game, yes. Yeah. But maybe more tough game. But like I say, we play the first minute until the last minute the same. in defense and in offense. And I think they give up a little bit on the end of the game, you know. But the reason...
What do you think about that? That's one of my next questions coming up. Did you... Because when I was commentating the game, I said to myself, I said, this third quarter is dominated by FS, but you guys couldn't get away from them. It was still a six-point lead, seven-point lead. You went to nine, then back to five. But then all of a sudden, it was like they gave up.
Yeah, like you say, I think they give up after a little bit after the third quarter, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't give up on the beginning because it's got 6-7 points game.
Yeah.
And I think we put more intensity on the end, you know, more intensity in defense. We make them in trouble in offense. We take rebound, we run, and we make our shot. They miss a lot of shots open too, and we make our shot. And I think this is the key of the game. We dominate in rebound. We stop like Bobby. Bobby, when they win, he scored 25 points during the two last games in playoff. Slukas too, you know. And we stop the key men of Fener.
What's that feeling like, man? I've been lucky enough to be there before. When you're out there and you're playing against this maximum rival, and you're in the Final Four, and at the end of the third quarter, middle of the third quarter, you know you got him. It's like you're a boxer, you know what I mean? And you got the guy on the ropes, and his eyes are rolling in the back of his head, and all you got to do is make the right punch. What was that? Was there a timeout where you guys were like, fellas, let's go. This is our moment.
I think on the beginning of fourth quarter, if I know after the, you know, when we finish, if you push like six more minutes and things like this, you can have a good 20 points average. And we push ourselves, like I want to say, Dunston make a good block in turns in defense. Shane make the switch of the pick and roll. Shane make the difference on one-on-one pick and roll. And, you know, this is our team. You know, this is like we believe after the, like when we think we win is on the two last minutes. You know, when we win by 20, it's easy to win. And we control the game easy.
Right.
And we got no pressure on the end of the game. You know, Gobi maybe 3-4 points different, maybe it will be different, but when you win by 20, it's easy to control the game after.
What I like was, everybody talks about Efes and their offense and their perimeter, and I mean, I want to go back to one thing real quick. You always seem to hit a big shot, and no one really realizes how big your three-pointer was in the beginning of the game, because you guys were not, the first 3 minutes, I know it's only 3 minutes in, but someone needed to break the ice for you guys to feel good. And that three-pointer you hit on the fast break I thought was huge, just to get – it was kind of like the rest of the team was like, yeah, we're here now, you know. And you've constantly hit that shot. You did it against Barcelona in Game 5. You're not a guy that scores a whole bunch of points all the time. You contribute in different ways of the game. Did you feel that three-pointer was a big shot? Because it looked like you exploded when you hit it.
No, like, because I'm very happy because we qualified FS for the Final Four, you know, against Barcelona. My whole team, you know, explode because...
You exploded yesterday.
Yesterday.
In that first three.
The first three because, you know, it's like confidence, you know, when you make the first one, it makes you on the game, you know, and... like I said, this is our game, you know. People thinking, oh, it's a quick shot, but this is our game. Everybody can make this shot.
But you guys play defense too.
Yeah,
that's the thing. That's what everybody doesn't realize sometimes.
Like Coach said, you enjoy in offense because you play good in defense.
Right.
And this is like yesterday we did. We stop, we do some great stop, and we enjoy. This is our identity. And sometimes when you can do it, it's very great, and that make win game, you know. It's not only offense. We are talented in offense, but in defense, you can contribute too.
Right. What surprised you? What surprised you most about your team yesterday?
Because you know this is. I like this team because they are very hungry. This is the feeling we are on the when you start. You know, before the game, we talk together. The five starts say, right. Okay, it's 40 minute games. We never give up, doesn't matter, you know. This is like my motivation, you know. This is because I like to play for this team and for my teammate like this.
After the game, did you get to watch where did you watch the Madrid-Chess game?
Yeah, I watched it.
Where? From the stadium?
From the hotel.
From the hotel.
TV.
What did you think? I mean, you had to be thinking for almost an hour and a half to 2 hours you were playing against Real Madrid.
No, like... somebody asks me always the question, what you prefer to play? I say, you know, to...
That's the worst question anybody could ask.
Yeah, and the thing I say, I don't care. If you need to win, to take this trophy, you need to play against a big team. You know, this is not a small team they have in the final four. And,
And you don't, you never get to choose who you play against.
Yeah, it's tough to know, but like you say, like we have, doesn't matter for me, you know, to win or... I think Cesca does a huge comeback yesterday. It's not easy to come back after 11 points. They are a very athletic player. And, you know, right now we are very focused to play against them and to give like 40 minutes game.
But was there, there had to be a moment yesterday where you started thinking about your, I'm going to have to match up with Anthony Randolph. I'm going to have to match up with Trey Tompkins. I mean, because it looked over. Cesca at one point in the third quarter kind of looked like Fenerbahce at one point in the third quarter against you guys.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we're thinking to play against Madrid, but like a game is not never finished until the last minute, you know.
Remember that tomorrow.
Yeah, this is the thing. You see, I was so much final, you know, like Printezich make the last shot on the you know, this is like Maccabi when they win against, you know, these guys, big surprise, you know, you never know. And
now you're here.
Yeah, well, right now I'm here, and it could be a very tough game against CSKA. You need, like I say, play 40 minutes. Never give up 40 minutes. I think Madrid yesterday, not give up, but they got maybe some moments go down, you know, and CSKA take this chance to come back. And tomorrow you need to play 40 minutes against CSKA because they are very athletic, they are dominate. And I think the favorite for everybody is CSKA, but we are here to compete and see what happens tomorrow.
Last question is the two teams that you were, one of the two teams that you were going to play against, either Real Madrid or Cesca. Real Madrid, you were winning by 15 at home in the fourth quarter and blew that lead. And Cesca, you lost in the last second at home. You haven't beaten either one of these two teams. The only one we're really worried about right now is Cesca. Is that game that you lost at home a motivational game for you, or is it just like, hey, this is another game? Or even your coach talked about it at the press conference. Coach Adaman talked about it.
I think for us, it's like our game in Sinan, you know, we play eyes to eyes against CSKA. We lose, but like I say, Final Four final is completely different game, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's more motivation, you know, against at home. I twist my ankle at home. I can play all the game. It would be tough for me to help my teammate, but maybe tomorrow I can give more than I give for the last game against them. And, you know, no pressure, just, you know.
Let me clear that up. You twisted your ankle during the season before you played. Yeah, just so the people who are, people for Efes don't get scared that
I twist my ankle when I played in Sinanard, and, you know, the like five, 6 first minutes, you know.
I couldn't play
the rest of the game.
I just
want to
make sure everybody
understood. I'm good. I'm healthy, you know. I'm very happy to have all my 100%, you know, body. And you will see tomorrow will be a different game than a regular season, you know, because this is final, and a final, so many things can happen, you know.
The only bit of advice I have for you is win this one. Win this one. You know why? Because the rest become, they're easier, but they become easier because you're like, okay, I have that one, you know, I have that one. So you have to win this one. I personally just want to wish you good luck. I love the way you play. I love your intensity. I love the way you lead through example with your teammates. You're not a very vocal leader sometimes, but you lead through example. And I like to watch it, and I appreciate your game. And just the best of luck tomorrow, man. So the worst story is going to be really nice if you guys can pull it off.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I will give my best.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
I talked to Aiden and Momo a little bit before, and I talked to Corey Higgins, and neither one of them said they slept. Which is pretty typical, and I mean, after the win, I mean, Higgins probably worse because his game finished at, you know, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, had dinner, and got back to the room, and Adrian was the same way. He's just like, you know, I slept all the way up into the game, but he's like, I haven't slept yet today. I'm like, it's difficult, man. It's just so much stuff going on in your head, and for him, can you imagine, man? Do you remember your first one?
I definitely remember my first. It was a long time ago. It was 1992, but I remember it for sure. Yeah, you don't sleep afterwards. There's so much adrenaline pumping. But one thing I do miss as a player, those long siestas. I miss those long naps. That's almost where you get the best
sleep.
Oh, and after lunch, of course. That was really? That was sacred.
Like the day before, the day of the game also.
The day of the game, the day before the game. Sacred naps.
Boom, 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 boom.
No, that's it's that I couldn't. I had trouble getting to sleep at night. You'd wake up early, but the sleep after the meal always.
I can remember going into a final game and the whole thing was like, shit, I didn't sleep good enough, man. I didn't sleep my nap good. It was like so much pressure.
Yeah, I remember also, my first one was in Tel Aviv. So we had two weeks before Final Four, we had this crazy game against Žalgiris. After that game, we didn't sleep like for 5 days because it was like drunk out of, all country was drunk. And I remember we beat CSKA in semifinal in Tel Aviv. And listen to me, you want to win that title. You don't care for the anything else, you know, sleeping, not sleeping. There is no excuses. You know, it's what, so I didn't sleep, so what? You know, I want to win the title.
I remember.
So that's the best players now going through their head. Of course, they shouldn't play event. They should play the game. This is the catch of the new guys that are coming in Final Four. They get excited while I'm playing Final Four of the EuroLeague.
Yeah, big pressure is the first game. The semifinals are the big game.
Yes.
I remember being more nervous for the first game, the semifinals. Yeah. The finals, you're there, you know, you're ready.
Do I need to go back to that consolation game again? Is that the reason for the nerves? Or?
No, but you know what? The consolation game, they start off slow, but they end up competing.
Yeah, I mean, last year was a great game between CSKA and Žalgiris.
Oh, they were competing. It's a matter of pride. You know, players, there's lots of pride, and they don't want to lose any game, and it doesn't matter which place you are.
We talked about Larkin. I'm going to Larkin. It's just an incredible game. But how do you stop this kid? I mean, how is CSKA going to stop this kid? He's playing at a level that we haven't seen before. He set records last night in point index rating. He led the team in points, rebounds, and assists. I mean, how do you shut him down? There was one play that we had on TV last night where he got in the 4-point play by James Anderson. We had an overhead view of the play. And it was amazing the way it was like a magnet as he dribbled through the lane as all five yellow shirts just came in. You have to be so aware of him at all times.
I think the key is not stopping him because he's in a zone that I'm sure that he's going to score 30 points. Mm-hmm. Between 25 to 35.
You have to stop the other guys.
But you have to limit other guys, and these 7 assists to be 3 assists or 4 assists, and steal a few points here, a few points there, because really what he's doing last few weeks against Barcelona series, you know, to score 37, the 30, and is really beautiful to watch him, you know. It's full of confidence, and everybody is really, when he's with the ball, everybody moving from, you know, Moerman getting open shots,
looking,
you know,
for the ball.
Anderson getting open shots. This is what they need to, if they want to beat FS, this is what they need to avoid.
Coach Adam's strategy, said against Fenner, was to trap Bobby, Ali Muhammad, Bobby Dixon every time.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be able to do that against Larkin.
Yeah, they tried to do that, and he was able to get around those double teams and pick up fouls.
Right, but if you notice, he's so quick off the dribble that they don't use that much pick and roll. So it's hard to trap someone when you're not using the pick and roll.
They are sleeping and giving this little bit of advantage.
Exactly.
That is
exactly.
Really, mm-hmm. And look, he's also out of dribble, amazing shooter. So maybe force him right, because with the left shot, he's really good. He's falling and falling and...
But he's so good at getting to the basket too.
Yes.
He's hard. But again, they're going to have to play defense, and they've been doing it because CSKA. I mean, Corey Higgins is not going to go scoreless. He didn't go scoreless because he scored from the foul line, but he didn't score a shot till the dunk at the end of the game. But they're going to have to play defense against Nando De Colo. I mean, that's not easy.
I don't see this game going 50-50 points. There's going to be around 80, you know. This is going to be... there's so much talent, in offensive talent here, that I don't... that small details will decide. And like you said, each of these teams has 3 players, at least, that can score 20-plus points. Mm-hmm. And this is really something that... I'm expecting a really beautiful game.
Coach Adudis is 1-1, but he hasn't made it to the final in the last, well, not in the last 5, but I mean, out of the last 4, he's only made it to the final once. He's played that semifinal game 3 times. So they got a lot of extra motivation too to doubt the doubters.
I can tell you, I know those guys. I know the coaching staff very well. Consider them friends of mine at Jessica. They have a tremendous amount of pressure on them. I mean, they are expected to win every game.
Every game.
Every single game. And always have a lot of, they're going to have to be able to deal with it. I thought they did a good job dealing with that pressure. And maybe the fact that they were coming from behind was easier for them to play as opposed to trying to protect the lead and not lose. You know, they're playing to win instead of playing not to lose, which I've seen in the past.
Right.
Going back to coach, when Coach Ettore De Messina was there,
right.
Same thing. Chesica's always been in this event, but they have so much pressure on them. You know, it's normal to have pressure, but it always seems like Jessica has more. Yeah, and that's what they're going to have to deal with.
It builds up also 3 years for them, you know, because, like, they are out of 18 EuroLeague 17 times in right. Final Four, and they won three, you know, and they were always top team. You know, if you see the, if you go back, I think out of these 18 teams, like 18 years, 15 times they were fringed first by Easy.
And that's something I talked to Corey about. I talked to Coach Etudis about during the weekend. Is this not so much because of their record? Because their record is maybe one game different than last year. I think they were 24-6 this year. They're maybe 25-5 out, whatever. But it's the fact that Real Madrid came out in the first 10 games of the season, beat everybody by 20 points, scored over 100 points a game, set the pace and set the tone. Once Sergio Jule got hurt, they went down, but Fenerbahce took the command of the league from that point on. So basically, Jessica's been just, I say, flying under the radar. You know, they've been just like sitting there in third place, fourth place, down, up. They've had some tough times. They lost a game against Baskonia, which I think was a big game for them. So it's a different season for them. I mean, does that make it easier to come here and not be the favorite?
For sure, they during the season, if you could hear it in our basketball world, they're like, wow, Cska is struggling, Cska is a problem. they finish, you know, they're still, like you said, like six losses. You know, but you know, for this is the Cska. For them, six losses is already disaster. You know,
right.
you consider it as the best season of Cska, but. Like you said, they were a little bit under radar. I cannot say that CSKA is ever underdog, but maybe the pressure was built around more about you know, Fenerbahce, Real Madrid defending the title back to back again. You know, so they were a little bit under. And yesterday, like Johnny said, it's very good. I was watching the bench of CSKA. It wasn't any panic reaction. Mm-hmm. Usually, people will start to panic, and you can see. Coach Etudis was focused, standing, you know, not making any crazy emotional, you know, blowouts, keeping it, acting really confident. And
I felt in Berlin when they were winning by 20, you can feel the demons crawling into the gym before it happened.
Yeah.
I felt like other times where I've seen them last year against Madrid, they went out by 30, they went up 30-20, I think, in the first quarter. And you felt the demons like crawling through the gym. Like somehow or another, the Russian powers like locked the doors to the Fernando Buesa Arena because I didn't see it yesterday. I saw that one moment where I thought that they were going to give up. But then they just boom. And that was what changed. I think that was a huge moment for them.
Yes. No, they were different. To the, like you said, there is no demons didn't came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
let's go to Corey Higgins of Cska. And when he walked into this room earlier, I told him I thought he was in survival mode.
I mean, I'm doing great. Like you said, it was survival mode. It was a grind for us last night, and just to come out on top from that battle, it feels great. So you get a little bit of extra juice in you now, ready to go for the championship.
The game finished late, obviously. You got that adrenaline in you. How much have you slept?
Not much. I'll probably put it around 3.5-4 hours, maybe. Like you said, the adrenaline was all the way up there. It's a do-or-die game, biggest game of the year, and then you got to try to come down and relax. It just doesn't happen. So, yeah, I didn't get much sleep last night.
What's your plan today? A little massage from the team therapist, a little sauna, a little jacuzzi, a little nap.
Well, yeah, we got 24 hours of downtime. You got to make the most of it. Like you said, massage, treatment, whatever you need to do. You just got to try to get your body right.
I did this with Adrian before. go back to the night before the game. I mean, you've been here before. He hasn't. He's a rookie. You've been here before. What's the night, the day before and the night before for you like? Is there that adrenaline coming in? Also, the night before the game, you're thinking about what's going on, what you have to do, think about everything that you have practiced for, you know, coming up to the week. Or are you one of those guys that just, because you seem like that calm, cool guy that just like lays down, puts his head in the pillow and just crashes out.
Yeah, you kind of said it. For me, it's all the same. It's just another game. We've obviously prepared.
Come on, man. Don't give me that politically correct answer, man. I'm on the crossover. My listeners are going to be mad at me if you give me that.
I hear you.
Don't give me that one day at a time thing.
But it's the truth. It might sound cliche, but for me, it's the truth. You know, I just try to approach every game the same. I think that's the best way to approach your job. I think that's how you're going to get the best results. Maybe for me it didn't work so well last night, but yeah, every game's the same, the preparation is the same, and I think that's the best way to go about it.
You know, of course, every time now since, I mean, I don't know how much history you know or how much you care about, but you know, the Olympiacos losses, the Bacheska, the Maccabi loss, everybody talks about the demons and, you know, the Final Four demons, plus Coach Attudis is, up until yesterday, was only made one championship game of the Final Four. Did it ever leak in? Did it ever leak into the locker room? Leak into the, like, talk with each other? And I asked Chacha the other day. He's like, you know, he's like, people think about it, but no one really cares about it when you're here.
Yeah, I've been hearing about that since I put a Cesca jersey on, and
I can't avoid it. Can you?
Yeah, you can't really avoid it. But I never believed in it, especially my first year. I was lucky enough to get the title. And then,
y'all blew that 20-point lead.
Yeah, we did. We did. We definitely blew it. But even then, I was still confident, that Vic would make that amazing last shot. But, last couple of years, you heard more of the chatter, of course, because we had poor performances in the last 2 years. But, this year we got to exercise our demons and shut some of the doubters up. And so hopefully we can get one more and really leave no doubt.
Any sense of revenge yesterday, either before the game or after the game, like you just, you know, after losing last year to Madrid? I know every year is a different year, every game is a different game, but when you play this game, you have to sometimes, you're always motivated, but you always look for extra motivation on top, because the motivation to come in a game like this is automatic. If you don't have it, you shouldn't be playing this game.
Yeah, but that's correct.
To get yourself some extra motivation, was that a little bit there?
Yeah, for sure. Because you have all those memories buried inside of you. You walking off the floor, and the other team celebrating, getting ready to play a final, and that's definitely not a feeling that we wanted to have again. So, like you said, it was extra motivation, but at the same time, we didn't need any extra because we had enough doubters, enough haters. So, yeah, so we just really wanted to get that final.
You sound like you're more motivated by all the doubters out there than anything else.
For sure. I mean, everybody gets motivated by something different. I think our team, for some reason, we hear a lot that, I don't know, a lot of people don't like us. And then me personally, I hear a lot of doubters and chatter. So, I mean, it's all motivation at the end of the day. You just have to take it in stride, especially as a competitor.
Be tough on you right now, right? I'm be tough on you right
yeah,
now.
Yes, you should.
You didn't score you didn't score from the field to the end of the game in the dunk.
Yeah.
You were 0 for 9, I think, going into that.
0 for 8.
Uh-huh. But yeah. I mean, you did everything you needed to do from the line. You sealed the game at the end of the game. The dunk was huge, obviously. The free throws were huge, but it was that sense of like, man, I just want to help the team a little bit more. And I mean, because when it's done, you're like, man, I didn't play my best game and we won, yeah. Man. That's great.
That's for sure.
That's what the team's all about. But during that, we're like, man, what's up with my shot today?
It was just one of those days. The shot wasn't going.
It was there, though. Like, every time you shot, it was on.
It was on. The first couple, I think. I needed to get those first couple to go. But at the same time, I try to pride myself on, if the shot's not falling, just keep playing defense, keep staying in the game. Mm-hmm. And so I think I helped the team that way. And other guys were huge, Will, Chacho, Nando, of course, and really a whole team effort. Danny and Othello were huge in our comeback defensively. And so, yeah, when things aren't going, you just have to stay in the game, stay in the moment, and try to do other things to help your team win. And that's what I try to do.
Down 11, down 14 at one point. I mean, it looked like, and I'm sure you didn't see I'm sure you didn't even watch the FS game yet or see the FS game, but Fener just gave up in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter. They gave up. The body language was bad. And it looked like at one point y'all's body language was getting there. What made the change? I mean, I don't know if you saw it or if you felt it, but I saw it from the outside looking in. What made the change? Was there a timeout? Was there a moment in the game where you're like, come on, fellas, let's go. Let's get back in this.
We were kind of trying to motivate each other all game, but I think that moment you're talking about was really maybe we were down 14 or maybe 5 minutes to go in the third quarter or something like that. Exactly. We had a timeout, and it was we just talked to each other like, this is it, and we've obviously been here before. I think the playoffs in Baskonia really helped us because we had a lot of similar situations. And Coach even talked about it in that fourth quarter. We needed, like in the playoffs, Coach was talking about we needed that one fourth quarter defense holding the team to 12, 15, 17 points. And this was our time to do it. And it was a do or die, and this was it. And we didn't want to be holding our heads and let everybody talk about us once again. So, yeah.
Go back to the doubters.
So, at that timeout, I think, was the moment you were talking about.
And it was an interesting comeback because you've played this game for so long. And you've seen comebacks. It's like, you know, I go on a 12-0 run and I get myself back into the game. But you guys just chipped away at it. It was, you know, you did it on the defensive side and you did it on the offensive side. It was, you know, they come down, hit a two. You guys go down, hit a three, get a stop, hit a two. They come down. So it wasn't like, hey, Cheska went on a 13-0 run and they got back in the game. It was constant. So it was more of a defensive comeback than it was offensive. A lot of people equate comebacks with offense, but you guys did it from the defensive side.
Yeah, definitely. I think that really just shows our character, for one, and what we've been through this season also, because we had some ups and downs, but in the down moments, we always were able to bounce back. And I think that really helped us build our character mentally, made us mentally stronger. So I think that's what it came down to. We've been able to win a lot of games defensively this year, and I think that paid dividends for us last night.
And Coach Itudis keeps saying the same thing, and I'm sitting here wondering, like, when did y'all have a down moment? What were y'all, 24-6 in the season? Exactly. You won the playoffs 3 years to one. What down moments we talk about? It must be stuff in the locker room that the public don't know about.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we had some bad losses this year. We definitely had some bad losses.
Tell Budenas or tell one of those teams about down moments.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of them where we had to bounce back and actually come back against Madrid because our backs were against the wall. Yeah. That was a big moment for us. Another one was at Barcelona. We had some poor performances in our domestic league, and then obviously in the playoffs when we dropped the one at home, which nobody expected, and our backs were against the wall again.
I think that was the biggest one for y'all right there, and then the two games here. But it's like I told Coach, I said, you know, you guys seem to be just this year, you guys always dominate, and this year it was Madrid that came out and just destroyed everybody in the first 8-10 games. And then once Madrid took a backseat, it was Fenerbahce that just kind of took control of the league for the rest of the season. So you guys have just been kind of flying in that third, fourth, you know, just what I call flying under the radar. You're not drawing anybody's attention. And you know, now it's too late. Now you're drawing people's attention with the win yesterday. But still, I think that's a great position for y'all rather than that favorite, you know, coming into the tournament.
I think you could take some positives from that. If you look at the past years, I think the last two champions were four seeds or five seeds, and now FS is again out of the fourth position in the final. But for us, yeah, we tried to stay consistent throughout the whole year. A lot of people say we had ups and downs, and I spoke on it earlier, but I tend to agree with you more because I think our record was the same. Or maybe one game difference as last year, and we were in first by.
But it was a different road to get there. It seemed like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think the road was different, and I think the road was much more beneficial for us this year.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the game?
Not much. Yeah. It was playing on the TV before our game, but I didn't see a lot of it.
See a lot of it. They got confidence going. They're rolling in. I mean, and you know, momentum is all about these tournaments. How do you, How do you, as a team, how do you, and I hate to ask the basic questions, you know, what do you need to do, but how do you stop the momentum? That's the biggest key, because you can say, yeah, we need to shut down Shane Larkin. He's not going to score 30 points on us. He's not going to have that kind of game. But you're fighting something more abstract right now. You're fighting against momentum. Mm-hmm. How do you do? You guys have momentum too, right. But it just feels like their momentum is rolling at the right time.
Yeah, it definitely does feel that way. They're playing great basketball. But like you said, I think it's going to be obviously not the same game, but it's going to have some similarities to when we played them at their place. They had some momentum going. They had a home streak of a lot of games of wins. But, I mean, it's just going to be the little things as usual. It's going to be a grind-out game. It's going to be an up-and-down game. So, I mean, there's no magic potion for it. You just have to stick together in these types of moments, believe in each other, have faith in each other. And, yeah, it's going to come down to a couple plays. Every play is going to be a game-winning play. So, I mean, there's no magic potion. Obviously, we have to stop those two guards. But they're
which one you got? Which one you got to play against?
I mean, I want all of them. But as a defender, yeah, I take pride in that end of the court. But the coaches will come up with a great game plan, and we're definitely going to be ready to execute it.
You know, it's like I said, the momentum is one thing, but you guys have, again, I go back to that flying under the radar. So it's two different types of teams that are walking in. They came out and they just beat up on Fenerbahce late in the game, in the third quarter, fourth quarter. You guys, like I said before, you guys did it slowly, you know, throughout the game. What type of pace do you want to try to determine tomorrow in the game? Do you want to try to get up and down with them? Because they can kind of go at any pace, but they like to run more than anything else. Will you guys like to run with them? Because you guys are more of a perimeter team.
Yeah, we always like to run. But at the same time, we just want to go at our pace. Sometimes I think with our team and all the different weapons we have, it changes from game to game. Sometimes we want to get out and run and really offensively beat up on opponents. And other days, it's a grind-out game. But we've shown that we can play all different styles. So I think the game will determine that. And obviously the game plan that we want to execute, I'm not sure which way we want to go yet. But yeah, I just think the game will dictate.
That's not your job, is it?
Yeah, that's not my job.
They'll tell you
what. Exactly.
How's Will doing?
He's good. Yeah, Will's good. He's a competitor. I mean, he's going to be ready for the final 100%. I have no doubt in my mind. And he was huge for us last night. He's been huge all season.
He's had an unbelievable season. Exactly. He really has. It's like he's just coming into his own this year, you know, watching him grow a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's a matchup nightmare. Yeah. He can do everything on the court.
Because now he's shooting the three.
Yeah. How are you going to stop him? He can guard 1-5, play 1-5 on the offensive end. So no matter whenever he's on the court, he's going to have a mismatch, and he's going to give us an advantage at somewhere on the court, no matter what.
All right, guys, Efes versus Cheska. What are the main concerns if you're Dimitris Itoudis? I'll give you Nicola. You're Dimitris Itoudis. What are your main concerns when you play against Efes tomorrow?
My main concern would be that they will not allow them to develop a flow of the game, to start to involve too many players in the game. This is what they are doing great with all this penetration inside of Micic, of Larkin, that they are kicking the balls out, fake penetrate, another kick. You know, if they start to play this kind of game, then they are 90 points team, and then we are in trouble. So slow down them and focus on the stopping these secondary players that they are getting 10 points, 12 points, 9, you know, and then they're collecting 90 points. Because, like as I told you before, Larkin will go for his 25-plus points, Micic probably around 20. But if Micic is going to have 11 assists and Larkin 7 assists, this is the huge difference.
Well, that was the interesting thing, though. Yesterday, Selko even mentioned it was they had, I don't know how many baskets, but they only had like 11 or 12 assists. So they played a lot of one-on-one basketball. And how do you, it's even harder to stop that if you're coaching Tudis.
It's true, but I thought lots of these things happen because they move defense. And then they get these small advantages when they are penetrating and coming to the rim or taking the between shots. need to slow them down. Ceska has more maybe advantage than Fenerbahce because they have faster, bigger players. Mm-hmm. I mean, this position 2-3 like Higgins, Claiborne. I don't know what will be with Voronchevich tomorrow if he's going to contribute more. But you have these size players that they can stay a little bit back and don't let them to come inside and penetrate. So this could be especially switching defense advantage.
All right, Coach Adaman. What are you doing? What are you doing against Cesc? How are you going to stop that what I call the double-headed monster? Because we haven't seen the Serge, the Chacho, and the Nando De Colo that often this year explode like they did yesterday. It's been either Chacho one game and Nando's taking a back seat, or vice versa, as we saw in the playoffs here, well, at least games 3 and 4. So yesterday they worked together so well. And Chacho was huge early in the game when Jessica was not getting anything. How do you stop that double? I mean, obviously it's going to be a perimeter game tomorrow here. That's what we're talking about.
That's right. They're lethal. Sergio's was hitting his shots. He's a very good shooter, but as you know, he passes the ball so well. He was sending some guys up. I think it goes back to, I hate to say it, but make those guys defend. I think it goes back to your offense. Make Sergio Rodriguez defend. Make Nando De Colo. Make them move. They're going to have to give effort defending, and that's going to take away from their offense. It's going to be tough. I think the game plan is a little bit easier for Chesa guys. Say, be physical with those guys. Use your physicality. Let's see some hard fouls on Larkin. Let's muck it up a little bit. Right. You know, I don't know if I'm adamant. I want to get out and run. I want an offensive game. I don't know exactly what I do about their defense. I'm putting all my focus on the offense if I'm adamant.
Yeah, I think you said that's going to be the key for Cesc's physicality. I mean, because if you let a team that plays the way FS plays, let them be comfortable on the court, they're going to kill you. Someone's going to kill you. It might not be Larkin tomorrow, but it might be Misic. It might be Mormon. I mean, he starts drilling threes too. So you can't let them be comfortable. But how do you be physical with a guy like Larkin? Can't catch up to him.
Yeah, I know. You say I keep going back to Steph Curry. Yeah. The same thing. Everybody says, "Oh, just be hard fouls and Steph
but
Curry."
Been that
you
for
can't
10
catch
years.
Him. Yeah, you can't catch him. Yeah. And you saw the speed, the level of speed that Larkin has. He goes into like fourth, fifth, sixth gear, and he's just getting around people, through people.
That's the thing. He's got an amazing ability to avoid contact. Mm-hmm. You know, he knows when to draw contact to shoot, but then he's got an amazing ability to avoid that contact and where he gets through that crease where he had that up and under reverse. I mean, there was no space, but he found it.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I think is most amazing about him is the way – But physicality is going to be key for them. They have to come out. You got big guys, just man, come out, double team them. But I don't know, who do you got, man. I mean, let me go to Johnny first, since you're the man that's laying all the money down on the line to win the championship.
I want to listen to Nicola. He hasn't missed one yet. But I'm going to go.
Yeah, but he's got an advantage. I mean, I don't know if it's advantage or disadvantage. He's played for one of these two teams, so he's got his little heart into it. So you know, usually when you play with your heart, you lose. But
yeah, you're right. I'm going to go old school, and my old school belief here with EuroLeague is the most experienced team is going to come out with the trophy. And Chesca might not be at the highest level playing. I think Efes is definitely at the highest level. They're playing the best basketball right now at this moment. They've got more answers. But I'm going to go with Jessica because just the experience, I think the experience means so much in this competition especially. I'm going to say the favorite is Jessica. I'm going to go with Jessica, even though I admit Efes might be playing better basketball right now. But I know that experience is so important.
Yeah, I think I think we said that yesterday too about Fenner, but like we said from the beginning, Fenner just wasn't Fenner. I mean, their experience was pretty much overtaken by guys just not being on the court for them and the injuries. Off to the big guy.
As I told you yesterday, my heart and wish is that Efes will take the trophy. You know, I have lots of friends in Efes, and I want them to be happy and celebrate. But when you go to professional thinking, and I have to agree with Johnny, because even Final Four is more underdog competition than experience competition, but statistically talking. Yeah. I have a feeling from the beginning, I have a feeling that Cesc is playing that this is going to be their year. It's going to take this title. Confidence, Nando, Sergio, you know, Corey Higgins, Claiborne, Kurbanov, all these guys that they are so many times in Final Four, and I'm sure that they learned how to play this game and not to play event. And probably they learn how to avoid the demons that follow them for these few years.
That's a really good story for EuroLeague, no? Worst to first, if Efes pulls us off. I mean, it's you know, Johnny, you're American, I'm American. We've always been brought up on the story. You know, you want a good story. And that's a story here.
It's a story having two Turkish teams in the Final Four. It's first ever. Yeah, and now you have a team going.
You've had two Greek teams. You've had two Spanish teams.
No, but you've never had Turkey. Turkey's, right. This is the first time Efes has gotten here. They were 16th place last year.
But that's good for the country.
No. Yes, it's good for I think it's also good for the competition. They did not make a Final Four until 2000. 2001 was the last time they were in the Final Four.
Right.
It's a Cinderella story, like you're saying. It's a great story. You know, if Efes can pull it off. I remember Maccabi and Milan winning that game. It was like, how did they beat Real Madrid? It was an overtime.
Yes.
That was incredible. You leave, of course, it was Istanbul with Olympiakos comes back and beats CSKA. I mean, there's been some incredible stories of underdogs.
Partizan when they won with Zelko. And I mean,
it was 1992. Like
21, 22 years old, it was average age of
Danilovic, Georgievich. Georgievich hits that last second shot.
When you say the names now, you're like, well, of course they won.
Yes.
You know, but they weren't that big of players at that point. They were young.
No question.
Efes really, like you said, it's a private club that the family investing for like so many years. Mm-hmm. And they're supporting this sport. I know how much they support in the community in Istanbul, and I'm so happy for them that they came to this stage. You know, it's like you said, it's a Cinderella story. If they go home with the trophy, it will mean a lot for the club and for the country. You know, they're competing with the Fenerbahce, probably club with the biggest fan base in the world. Mm-hmm. In the sport, and they're coming, you know, from the side and from the very small group of fans, and to win the title like this, it will be a really story, you know. On the other side, you have also CSKA that is committed every year to...
you have the opposite.
The opposite. So whoever wins, he deserves the biggest applause, because, you know, really they played basketball through all season on high level.
The other question I have is probably more directed towards you, Nicola, because you've been in the organization. You know a little bit more probably from the inside. Is this a one-and-done thing? Is this a one-and-done thing, or do you think that they continue to build? Because they've struggled over the years. You know, they've been such a roller coaster ride. Yes. They've been okay, then they've gone down. They've been down for a while, they didn't come up. Are they trying to create a winning culture to continue to the future, like Fenerbahce did? Fenerbahce started like 3-4 years ago with Zelko.
Of course, if I'm in their situation, you know, there is two points of this situation now. One, that for sure price of their players is now on the highest possible, you know.
Right.
And there is no team in Europe who doesn't want to take players from them. How hard are they going to be able to, how strong they will be able to keep these players, it will define their future. But for sure, this is a big push in their image of the club as somebody that come to Final Four. And to stay there, it's if you keep the same team, you have a big chance to stay. If you have to now reconstruct the team, again, you're going to the roller coaster that you had before, and you don't know how this team will... from the first game of the season, they looked like a team that played together for 10 years.
Exactly.
And this is unique to see.
I think that's a great question, Joe. That's a very interesting question. I think looking from the outside, it'll be difficult to keep them together. It's not a team. They've got a great core, but I think it'd be really difficult to, like, you know, Maccabi's going to come in. Maccabi, I'm sure you guys, Nicola, you're going to want some of these players on this team. They've got a high-level players.
It's happened to us 2014. We won title. We couldn't keep nobody.
Right.
Everybody came and with the triple, four-time money that they were like, we just couldn't. It was increasing our budgets enormously to keep the same team.
There's no doubt if you look at the league, which is, to me, it's the best product in the world. I mean, we compare the NBA to whatever, but, you know, in a league, game-to-game basis, the best product in the world for me. It's obvious that the teams that are there all the time, your Real Madrid, your Fenerbahce, your CSKA Moscow, build a core. Like you use the word core. They build like a 5 to 6 player core. And then you revolve around that. So every person you sign after that is coming into your system, yes. Not coming into a new system. What you said about Efes this year is amazing because it was like there's so many new players that you just had to develop a system. Yes. And they all bought into it early.
Immediately.
But Real Madrid's had that core. That core might be going away soon with, you know, you have a lot of older guys under contract. Cesca's had that core of the guys sticking around. So that's where does Efes find their core is going to be the question for me in the next couple of years. But you guys all went with Cesca. Yeah. So I got to go with Efes just in case. Because I'm going to be with you tomorrow night no matter what. So yes. We'll have something to talk about. It'll make my job easier tomorrow. Yes. Hey, that's it for now, guys. I want to thank Nikola Vucic, who's going to be with me the whole weekend, and, of course, Johnny Rogers, who just stepped in. I want Johnny to be here the whole weekend, but he said he's too damn busy for me. But, you know, I thought we were boys. But make sure you download the next episode of The Crossover at the Final Four when I'll be reacting to the championship game with Nikola and another legendary EuroLeague figure, Teo Papaloukas, who will be there with us tomorrow night after the game. And that'll be out Monday. But for now, from me, Joe R. Lucas, it's adios from Victoria Gasteiz.
Thanks for listening to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. If you like what you've heard, subscribe now so you don't miss an episode and leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts.